This is Jock Talk, an intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing. Presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who touched Derby, 1:38.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, 3 Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Pradnik come again to beat. He's had enough.
Raji Barrage aboard, crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano.
A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Now here's Mike Penna and Christina McManigal.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, along with my usual entry mate here on the show. It is retired jockey Christina McManigal, and we're coming to you from the Spa, the oldest racetrack in North America, Saratoga, in Saratoga Springs, New York, and extending a very special welcome to everyone joining us throughout North America on Sirius 220, XM Channel 206, and all of you tuning in on our website, on your smartphone, or on your tablet with our live streaming on our website, horseracingradio.net. Each week, a portion of the proceeds from Jock Talk are given back to the official charity of the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund, and we encourage everyone to support the PDJF and help those riders who have given us so much, and because of that injury they've sustained in the saddle, they can't do that anymore, and they need your help. You can go to pdjf.org to learn more about supporting PDJF. And Christina, we attended an event here in Saratoga last night, the Jockey Karaoke, which was unbelievable. It was all to benefit PDJF, and I think every single jockey that competes here in Saratoga was there. We saw several retired jockeys, including Hall of Famers Chris McCarron and Angel Cordero. Jean Cruguet was there. Boy, what a night.
That was awesome. That was so awesome, Mike, to be a part of that and to see the crowd that showed up for that, too. What a fantastic night.
Well, it was. And two jockeys that were both there, and they are with us here on Jock Talk tonight, Irad Ortiz Jr. and his younger brother, Jose Ortiz, two of the really bright stars in our sport, up-and-comers for sure. And, guys, happy to have you with us here on Jock Talk tonight. Jose, nice to see you, my friend.
Thank you. Nice to see you, too. Yeah. We are happy to be here.
Irad, good night last night, huh?
Yeah, it was very, a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun, and we enjoy it, you know, and the big trainers and big owners and jockeys was there, and we have a lot of fun.
Did you get up and sing?
I'm just dancing. I'm not a good singer, so.
Who's the better dancer, you or Jose?
I think he's
close,
he.
Close.
Yeah?
We are, close. He's a little more worse than I.
Who's the better singer?
No one.
No one.
No chance.
We don't even.
No chance.
Well, it really was for a great cause. And as I mentioned, a portion of the proceeds from this show here all going back every week to PDJF. And it's our charity and anything we can do to help. And I know it's so important for people to realize that those jockeys that can't compete anymore, they need your help, don't they?
Yes, they do.
They really need the help of everyone. You know, it's a dream. And they, for some reason, they can't do anymore, and it's hard to, you know, to understand that, and they have to keep, you know, they keep alive, and they need help.
Yeah, they certainly do. Irad, you're 22 years old. Your brother, Jose, 21, so you're very close in age. You've won 964, a little bit more than that maybe, closing in on 1,000 career wins. You ever imagine you'd be closing in on that number?
It's a goal for me, you know, and I'm looking forward, and it's very exciting to get close because it's not easy to be here every day and winning that a lot of races, 960 some. I don't think it's easy.
Did you imagine when you started out, you started riding in 2011, yes?
Yes.
Did you imagine that here we are in 2015 that you would have come so far, that you would be closing in on that milestone already?
Well, you know, you never expect those things, but you are always positive and, you know, keep in your mind and try to do the best thing and work hard. And if you have the horses, I think you'll be all right. And thanks God they give me the the help, the owners and trainer, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, Jose, you're not far behind him. You're closing in on, what, 700 wins, so you're nipping at his heels, so to speak. Is there a bit of a rivalry between the two of you as to who can go out and do better every day? Does that motivate each of you?
Not at all. We just wake up every day and work hard, the harder that we can, and we come back in the afternoon and we our team. You know, I don't ride his horse, I ride mine.
I mentioned Irod being 22 years old. You're going to be 23 next Tuesday, so yeah. Celebrating a birthday 1 week from today. Did you already get your brother a present, Jose?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Are you going to?
Maybe.
If he let me win a race, that's going to be a good present.
Has he ever forgotten your birthday before?
No. He's on fire on this meet, so hopefully let me
just let him win a race, he says.
That's a dark day, too, right? Yeah. Just like today. Yeah. So what are you going to do to celebrate, do you know?
No, we just, like always, you know, maybe stay home and do something, like, all in family. My mother going to be here.
Oh, good.
So we stay home and play some domino.
Does your mom come here often?
Yeah. No.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
She likes it.
So. Does she?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Now, you guys grew up in Puerto Rico, right?
Yes.
Take me back to the beginning. How did you first get introduced to racing? You're the older one, Irod. How'd you get introduced to racing?
Well, you know, my grandfather was a jockey, and my cousin, my uncle, they are both jockeys, and you know, I think it's on the blood, and I really love horses.
I heard a rumor that you two would hide in the trunk of a car to get to the racetrack.
Yes, sometimes
yes.
We did it because we don't have ID to get in, and we don't have a badge. So we have to do it because
wow.
If not, we can pass. Sometimes we have to do it to see
dedication.
The horses.
Dedication.
So you would get in the trunk, sneak through security, just go right through into the track, and then hop out and go ride horses?
Go by the gate. No,
we just looking. Watching the horses.
Watch them
training.
Right. Wow.
How old were you when that happened?
Maybe 12.
12. I don't know.
Yeah. Did you ever get caught?
Sorry?
Did you ever get caught?
No.
Did they ever catch on to it?
No.
Kick you out?
Well, it's amazing to see where you guys are today, thinking back on having to sneak into the racetrack just to get a glimpse of some of the horses. Tell me about your grandfather, Irod Sr. Tell me about him.
We don't really know too much about it, but I guess I know that he rode in Puerto Rico. And then he came to the state. He rode in parks before it was Kingston. He rode in Ohio, I think. He did good. That's all we know.
You never got a chance to really learn from him or anything, right? Because he was already...
Because he lived here in New York, Long Island. So we were in Puerto Rico. And he lived here.
Yeah.
So
you didn't grow up with him.
Yeah, we don't grow up with him.
What about your uncle, Ivan?
The same thing. He right now he work in the West Coast.
What's he do now?
He worked for one trainer over there. I guess he's like a foreman, like that. Yeah.
So when did you guys realize that you wanted to be jockeys? When did you know?
Well, I love horses. I have a horse. I have 8 years old already, and I already have a horse, and he too. So
or before that.
Before that, we got a horse.
We was like four.
Like five four. Years, we asking for a present for a horse,
for
a pony, for Christmas. And my father did it, so we get on the horse, we put the short irons, and, you know, try to do like a real jockey, and he hold the horse like a picture in the winner's circle and all that stuff. We have pictures too, so from babies, we really like to... Half a year, I really wanted to be a jockey.
You would do the whole winner circle thing and everything and snap pictures?
Yeah.
With you guys sitting on the horse?
Yeah.
Where are those pictures now? Do you still have them?
I have one.
Who would win most of the time? Who had more pictures?
No, but everything, my dad, he have like an OTV in Puerto Rico. It's an OTV here. So we had to go there since we was 2 or 3 years old. And we was watching races all the time. Watching races all the time in the OTV. We was watching races all the time. And then we just fall in love in very young age.
Yeah. What do you remember about the first time you finally got a chance to sit on an actual racehorse?
I was maybe like 4 years old. I feel like I love it.
Yeah, but that was an actual racehorse. I mean, that was a thoroughbred.
No, not thoroughbred.
How about a thoroughbred? The first time you sat on a thoroughbred, what was that like?
I was a little scared because, you know, the thoroughbreds are a little more than the ponies.
A little bit.
Tougher than they buck and everything, but as soon as I got it figured out, it was all good.
How about your dad? Was he supportive?
Yeah.
Were your parents both supportive?
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah, they asked for a horse. He bought him a horse.
They bought him a horse. I guess they would be.
Yeah, of course he was. What's your mom think of you guys being jockeys? Does she like it?
Yeah, she like it now. In the beginning, she don't.
She wanted...
We got to leave school at 16.
Wow.
So we was like in 11th grade, still in high school. And she want us to finish the high school, then go to jockey school. But you lose in 2 years.
Okay.
But we got it.
She wasn't angry.
Yeah, she wasn't angry.
Yeah.
And then we convinced her and we leave school. We go to a program who you make 1 year in 1 month. And we finish high school there. And we went to the jockey school 16 years
really?
Ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So there was a good compromise. You finished high school, but you still were able to go to jockey school.
Yeah.
Christina 16. Went to the jockey school here in the United States. I can imagine, though, the jockey school in Puerto Rico is a little bit different than what we saw at Chris's academy
probably.
Here in the States, probably,
probably,
right? Tell me about the jockey school in Puerto Rico, Ara.
It's a very, very good school, you know, and good jockeys come from that school, and it's hard, no, it's not easy.
Tell
they
us.
Always start like 20, and they graduate like 8, 5, 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they quick.
What did they teach there? How did?
Well, you first of all you have to groom a horse, like a groom. Then you gallop the horse in the liter by liter, and then so step by step, you know. Then you gallop. Then they let you gallop for. They have like the young horses in the school, and then they let you gallop for the trainers, and then you get better and better and. Try to do the best.
Look all right, what this. Is this picture you're showing me now, Jose? He just took out his cell phone. He's showing a picture here. What is that?
Our first horse.
Your first horse.
Is that you on your first horse?
Oh, my
on
goodness.
On the pony?
That's I, right?
Oh, we must tweet that out to everyone listening.
Yeah, that needs to be a picture that goes out. That's a pretty cool shot right there. Little Irad looking on at his younger brother on the horse.
Popeye.
That's a win picture, right?
Is that your father behind the horse there?
My grandpa.
Oh, your grandfather.
His really? Name, and the horse name is Popeye.
Popeye.
That's outstanding. Talking with the Ortiz brothers here, talking with the older brother, Irad, and talking with younger brother, Jose. They are separated by 1 year, as we mentioned earlier. Irad getting ready to turn 23 next Tuesday. And, guys, I know that when you were growing up, and wanting to be a jockey, going through the school in Puerto Rico, there were a couple of Puerto Rican jockeys that you idolized growing up, and they're here in Saratoga now. And one of those being Hall of Famer Johnny V, John Velasquez, and the other one being Angel Cordero Jr. Tell me a little bit about that and growing up and looking up to those guys.
Well, it's amazing because you see those guys every day, like winning big races like Johnny V, and you're growing up with that, and when you start riding, you want to be like them, and now you're here with them, and you have to compete with Johnny V, you know. But it's a dream come true, you know, and now we have to beat him.
You have to beat him.
You have to beat your idol. How cool is that, though?
We don't want to win anymore. Before it was like, come on, Johnny. Now it's like, you have to beat
like,
him.
Stop, Johnny, yeah, stop. Don't go.
You know, he's a real good jockey and very good person, too. We have a lot of respect for him.
How popular is Johnny in Puerto Rico?
Very popular. It's very, very popular. Johnny V has been like, he's like an idol to every kid in the school because he's like the new generation. Johnny is the one who is riding now. Angel was back in the day.
Yeah.
We still grow up. I know Angel because I know a lot about the sport. Going back, my dad teach me a lot. But everyone is growing up right now. They're looking at Johnny when we was growing up.
Right.
Because Johnny was killing them.
Maybe someday they'll be looking at you in the same way. Is that the goal?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Why not?
Of course. What do you remember about the first time that you met Johnny?
Yeah, he's a very good person.
We met Johnny a long time ago when we were in, when we were like 13 years old.
Yeah.
We came to Aqueduct and we get to meet Johnny. We got a very nice picture of it.
Did you ever imagine that you'd be here competing against him? I know that was always what you wanted to do, but is it still kind of surreal that you would actually be competing with Johnny? Look at that picture. You're showing us another picture here with Johnny in the middle with the two boys. And how cool is that to be able to look back on that moment? Have you shown Johnny that picture?
Yes.
He tweeted out.
He loved it.
Last year.
What about Angel? Do you remember the first time you met Angel?
Yes. We come, the first time I come here, my grandfather bring me to his friend, Pedro Rosa. He's a jockey security, and he know Angel very well. So we're going to his home and, you know, try to talk to him and put the videotape that I have it before, that I wrote him before in Puerto Rico. When I come here, I have 75 winners in Puerto Rico. So I'm trying to look forward and try to fix some things that I don't know was, I don't do it that good. By that point, still don't do it perfect, but, you know, we're still learning. We're still learning every day, and that's why we're here.
What kind of things did he tell you to work on when you showed him that video?
Well, I was like a real very, very high in the first part of the race before when I start, and in the stretch, like my hand riding, the how I hit the horse with the right hand, and I fixed some things. So.
And safe ground.
Safe ground, the most of the...
In Puerto Rico, we run in the middle.
In the middle of the track. So I say, here is different. You can't do that here. You can't do that. So it was good, you know, because he got a lot of experience and was good. He helped me a lot.
What's the biggest difference between riding races here as opposed to in Puerto Rico, other than the fact that you have to save ground to be successful here?
There's a lot of difference because... Just with the horses,
yeah,
a lot of difference. You ride much better horses, and they let you do. They let you ride a smart race.
Yeah.
Cause sometimes you got no horse, or the horse don't like something. You have to go around or do move early. Here you ride better horses, and they let you ride a smarter race, way better.
Well, I know that you guys spend a lot of time going back and looking at your past races and trying to get better, like any really good athlete does. You go back and study and you say, what can I improve on? So what are some of the things, Jose, that you've learned? Irod talked about a couple of the things that Angel told him, but what are some of the things that you've learned since you've been here that have helped you?
I really need to improve a little bit more in the turf. So I got Iras. I think he's the better rider in the turf right now. Between him and Jose Lescano, they are very good in the turf, so I always keep look at them. Safe ground, especially in the turf. That's what the trainer like, owner like it. And I'm working on it, you know. I'm doing really good right now, and I think I'm getting there.
Tell our listeners what that difference is between the dirt and the turf. What kind of a difference? How different is it to ride?
Way different in the dirt, but now I like to ride a lot in the turf because you learn. Because in the winter time we got no turf, we gotta ride dirt. Then you come to the turf again and you have to ride a little different. You forget a little bit, but as soon as you get going in the turf, you go back and you go back what you're supposed to do and you know already. But it's a huge difference. You have to save ground, wait a little bit more. Ira can tell you better than I, but...
What's the key to being successful on riding on the turf, Ira?
Well, the first thing I think is you need the horse.
You need the horse too, yeah.
You need the horse and try to be smart. You know, I think I really like the grass because you have to be smart. No matter what you do, if you have a long shot and you... give a good trip, you still have chance to win the race.
Yeah.
So I enjoy that, and you know, like to be in inside and safe ground, and you know, being behind horses like.
He liked to be a hero like Dominguez. He came out in the 16th.
I really like to feel like I got horse and wait, like I guess in like, I know I got them, I got, I'm gonna get there, and you know, I put that in my head, so I really like when I, everything happened like the way I want, so I really enjoy that. And when I get here, I watching a lot of Ramon Dominguez, he's like a idol for me, and he's amazing on the road.
I remember the first time I rode to Saratoga. Nailed me on the wire.
He's amazing. He was amazing. You know, you have Johnny V, he's a great rider. Grass, turf, anywhere. Johnny V, Hall of Fame, and he's the greatest.
I think he's the closest to perfect.
But now we have some hands like Ramon on the grass. I love it. I fell in love with that. You know, he was my everything on the grass. You know, when I get here, I follow him. All the race, I follow him. I try to do everything he did. So I think I create a habit. Now I do it by my own, you know.
Yeah.
I think that helped me a lot, and I learned something from him. I really like that.
Yeah, well, he was a pretty good one to learn from. And if you're going to follow somebody, Ramon Dominguez, one of the guys that you would certainly pick to follow. He was at the karaoke event last night, and he came out on the stage and got a standing ovation. And that was so well-deserved, because he is about the classiest person that you're going to find anywhere.
Yeah, class.
Yeah, he really is. You know, one thing we were talking about with, like, Ramon nailing you at the wire, Christina, and Irod, you're talking about saving horse and then making that move and having horse. We hear this term that jockeys have a clock in their head, right? Mm-hmm. How on earth do you guys keep track of all that when you're going through the race? I mean, how do you know that that's the time that you want to make the move to get your horse up to win?
Because it's not like right here we're watching a race. It's not like you're watching, look at that horse now, it's already coming. When you own the race, you have to be there. You break out of there, you look everyone, you know where you are, you know if they're going fast. Man, they're going fast, they're going to come back. They're going slow, I'm right there. I have to move. The soon you get through, you have to, the chance to move, you move a little bit and go little by little. And that's the point.
That's what always cracks me up when trainers, people say, what kind of instructions did the trainer give you, right? And I've had jockeys tell me they get the most bizarre instructions. You've told me that some trainers are giving you crazy instructions.
Yeah, they have.
But if, you know, the trainer says, oh, all right, what's the craziest instructions, Jose, you've ever gotten? You don't have to name the trainer, but what's the craziest instructions you've ever gotten?
I don't really remember. It's been a few.
Well, if the trainer says, I want you 5 lengths off the lead, and they go 21-2.
And you're right.
You want me 5 lengths off the lead?
Yeah, I mean, and those are split-second decisions that you guys have to make once the gate opens, right?
Yeah, sometimes you look at the paper in the jokes room and you say, I'm the only speed here.
Right.
And then you come out to the paddock and the trainer tell you he wants you to sit. So then you sit. They went 26:52, and the trainer get mad at you because
just doing his advice. Yeah.
But it's gonna happen, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, you can't win, right?
No, yeah, usually, you know, at least if you follow the trainer's instructions, you can blame the trainer's instructions. You can blame the trainer.
Yeah, yeah. I know Johnny always used to tell me, and he still does when I'll do an interview with him, that he'll have a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C when he goes into the gate for every race. Do you guys go through that whole process too?
When the gate opens, you got to judge by the break. You break good, and you can do whatever you plan, the plan A. You break bad, you got to go plan C, plan B, plan D, whatever it is.
You analyze the race, you know, you see the race, and you really have a plan, but if the gate open and something changed, so you have to have a plan
back
B.
Backup. You always expect the horse to break good. Sometimes it doesn't. So
I should be second, should be third, and then you don't break. I say, man, so plan B, if I don't break or something happens on the start, I'm going to save ground and follow this guy. He's the one that comes from behind, so you have to really know who's come from behind, who should
gonna
be in
stop,
front.
Who always go to the front and stop, so.
Visiting with Irod Ortiz Jr., his brother Jose Ortiz, here on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Christina McManigal at Saratoga. Irod, I know when you first came to the United States, there was a gentleman that works at Belmont Park, one of the peace officers by the name of Pito Rosa, who was very instrumental in bringing you over here. Tell me that story.
Well, you know, I come here with my, the first person was my grandfather. He make everything possible. He helped me a lot. And then he, you know, Peter worked at the jocks room, so he was more involved with the agents and all that stuff. So he know that agent Tony Mikalev, he used to have Alan Garcia, and he was, you know, have nobody. So we talked to him and he accepted me. So he told me, you want to come? I, first of all, I called him and let him know that I want to come here. And he find me the Tony, so I really like it, and I come here. Then I start working hard, get up early every day, and was not easy. And you know, from here to where I am now, I'm very happy with my success.
That's what every trainer will tell you. Any horseman will say the Ortiz brothers are among the hardest working that there is in the game today. And you have to take a lot of pride in that, though, don't you, Jose?
Sorry?
You have to take a lot of pride in the fact that you guys work so hard, right?
Yeah. You. I don't really. But I like to win here. If I don't come to the track, I anyway wake up at 6:37 and stay home watching TV. So why I don't come here and watch the horses train and watch the trainer? I like that. So
was there a challenge to get started when you first came to the United States, or what was the biggest challenge when you first came here?
Make it
to New York. I went to parks at the beginning, and I did well. I'd be there for maybe 3 weeks, 1 month. Then I won a race in Ecuador, and I decided to go to New York. And after that, thanks God, I've been success. So
how is it moving from the States, from Puerto Rico, and how was that transition? You know, obviously, as you guys said earlier in the interview, you'd been to Aqueduct before, but how was it leaving your family? Although you had your brother, Jose, whenever you arrived. Arad, you came here by yourself, other than your grandfather and Pito. But how was that to just arrive in the big, great big United States?
Yeah. At least me, I got Ida when I came here.
Right.
But I went to parks.
Right.
Ida was in New York. You know, it's hard always to leave your family back home, but a little sad in the beginning.
It's not easy.
Not easy.
You feel alone sometimes.
Yeah.
Thank God I have my grandfather, and then I have to move because he lives a little far, so I have to move. You feel sometimes alone, but you know, you have to still try to make it, and that's your dream. You're chasing your dream, you don't think of nothing else, you know. You're chasing.
And the Ortiz brothers certainly living their dream. They're here at Saratoga with us. We're going to get to a quick commercial break. We'll come back. Second half of Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Vodka, coming up next on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition, double gold, unanimous judge's choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, fifth generation ink, distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the BetAmerica way.
Since 2006, the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund has provided critical financial assistance to some 60 riders who have sustained catastrophic on-track injuries. The lives of these former athletes who have given so much to the sport of horse racing have been changed forever. I'm Mike Pena, president of the Horse Racing Radio Network and proud supporter of the PDJF, and I ask you to join me in supporting this outstanding organization right now by texting the word JOCKEY to 50555. You'll be credited with a $10 donation that can literally change the lives of those disabled riders who need it so much. It's quick, it's easy, and it's only $10. Who would think a simple $5 Exacta box would mean so much to so many? So let's all help make a huge difference in the lives of those riders who have given us so many great memories. Text the word JOCKEY to 50555 today and visit pdjf.org to learn more. Message and data rates may apply. Terms mgive.org/chi.
If you missed the Equine Forum, you missed a lot.
Wise Dan, two-time Horse of the Year, two-time Breeders' Cup Mile victor, recently announced that he is cleared to resume training for trainer Charlie Lopresti, and he joins us now on the Equine Forum. Let's just lay out the scenario. If he makes it to the races and the Breeders' Cup Mile is here at Keeneland this year, one of his favorite courses, how many starts will he need before the Breeders' Cup for you to feel comfortable?
I mean, in a perfect world, we'd love to run him in the four-star Dave, run him at Woodbine, run him in the Shadwell, and then Breeders' Cup. But for him, if we could get him ready here all summer and not have to make a start in the summer and run him once in the Woodbine race, Shadwell and Breeders' Cup, two races before the Breeders' Cup.
The Equine Forum, giving you the inside track on thoroughbred racing. Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 a.m. on Sirius XM Channel 92 and always streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is CJ Johnson with your Jockey Talk 360 weekly update. First, let's head up to New York, where the nation's leading rider, Javier Castellano, was voted our Jockeys Guild Jockey of the Week. Javier had 5 stakes mounts and won 3 of them and got second in 2 of them. He finished in the money on 52% of his mounts and was second in combined earnings for the week in North America. Next, let's head to Presque Isle, where Antonio Gallardo had another great week as he leads all riders at Presque Isle Downs. He led North America in wins with 12, had a 33% win percentage, and came in the money on 61% of his mounts. Next up is Joe Bravo, who won the Grade 2 West Virginia Derby at Mountaineer Park. He was third in combined earnings for the week. He had a win percentage of 28% and came in the money on 66% of his mounts. Corey Lannery also had a great week as he won 3 stakes races at 2 different tracks, including the Grade 2 Monmouth Cup Stakes and 2 stakes at Mountaineer on West Virginia Derby Day. He finished the week in the money 53% of the time. Finally, Deshaun Parker also had a great week as he continues to lead the rider standings at Mountaineer Park. He won the West Virginia Governor's Stakes at Mountaineer and came in the money 48% of the time for the week. He finished with a win percentage of 30% and earnings of $251,722. If you enjoy daily fantasy games and love handicapping horses, please check out jockeydraft.com, where you can draft your roster of jockeys, play for cash prizes. This has been CJ Johnson with your Jockey Talk 360 weekly update.
This is Jock Talk on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka.
And welcome back to Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Christina McManigal with you from Saratoga Racecourse in Saratoga Springs, New York. Of course, it is a dark day for the meet every Tuesday. They do not race, but they race every other day. And if you come here, you're going to be getting a good look at the Ortiz brothers, Irad Ortiz Jr., his younger brother, Jose. They are with us here. We hope you enjoyed the first half of the program and looking forward to the visit in the second half of the show here as well. And Irad, we were talking during the commercial break that a few months ago you welcomed a new member of the family, your little daughter, Sarai. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that's a exciting moment, you know. It's a great feeling, and you lost somebody more than yourself, you know. It's amazing.
Were you ready to be a father? Did you know what it was going to be like?
I am. I love it. I love it, you know. And from the first part, when I really know it, I was a little nervous, but then after, you know, when I see her, it's different. Something different, you know.
Uncle Jose said we need to get her on a horse.
She get on in the equalizer. He put on the equalizer. He wants to do everything with her, so I don't know. She don't want to be around.
No.
I don't think so.
Get her a pony.
Just at home.
Does she like the equalizer when you put her on it?
Yeah.
Is she a natural? Yeah?
She's in her blood.
Do you want her to be a jockey?
No.
No, I don't really want.
No. You might go to college.
It's not easy.
Wait, now you guys are starting to sound like your mom.
Yeah.
You better go to school, right? I think it's better.
Yeah.
Well, what goes around comes around. It's certainly nice to be able to come home and to see Sarai after being here at the races all day long, I'm sure. All right, let's go back to that day at Belmont Park back. What, I guess it was 2011 when you rode your very first winner, Millennium Jet, that afternoon. What do you remember about that day?
Well, first of all, I think I think it's a mistake.
Is that a mistake?
Yeah.
What day was your first winner?
Was for Bruce Levine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bruce Levine.
Grande Roja.
No, Grande Roja was for... Yeah, Grande Roja for Bruce Levine.
Okay.
And the second winner was for Robert Ribaudo, Cacha Penique. Yeah, I confused a little bit. I get up before the wire, too. Ramon gonna cash me off, and then I see... I look at him, and he was
riding. You beat Ramon?
No, I missed the wire. You know, I confused because in Puerto Rico it's just 316, and here it's a little more longer. So I get on and start riding. My horse open up a little bit. I gonna win. So I wake up in the apron, right?
In the apron, he stand up.
I look, Ramon coming like flying, riding. I looking at him and say, man, what? That's not finished yet, so I start riding back again, and you're like, I still win the race.
Yes,
I get lucky, you know. You do that the first time that you're gonna pass the wire in front in New York, the first, like, they're gonna see you. I confuse it's a mistake, but still win the race.
Wow,
so that was a very good moment, you know. Like, dream come true, you wanna win in New York, you know.
Yeah. If you can make it there, you'll make it anywhere, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they say, what do you remember about the day your brother won his first race? Where were you watching?
Home. Maybe in the Yuppie school, but...
Did you actually watch the race or no? You couldn't see it?
I think I watched it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you tease him for standing up?
No.
Yeah.
Just was happy because he won.
That's exactly right. Well, they say Belmont is... You can get lost at Belmont Park, right? If you're not used to riding there... You can get lost, but I don't know. That never made sense to me because, well, of course, the next horse I ride will be my first, but but it never made sense because a quarter pole is a quarter pole. A half mile pole is a half mile pole, but there's something different about Belmont Park, isn't there?
It's the track is a little more bigger, but, you know.
You ride there, I mean, that you get used to it, like everybody.
Right now, it's no way you can confuse. No, for me, you know.
Well, almost 1,000 victories. That
yeah,
would make sense.
Yeah, you know.
What about Keeneland? There's two finish lines at Keeneland.
Yeah,
Golf Dream too.
That's a little, you know, for us, a little weird. And little, it's new for us because we're riding in New York all year around. So we going out of town sometimes, asking the other jockeys, which warrior is, which one? The first one or the second one? The second one, okay.
I always ask like five different people. I don't know if somebody... lying to me.
Yeah, but you know, it happens sometimes the jockeys get fined, you know, like they're riding every time in the track and they confuse and they get fined. So I don't never happened to me, but I don't want to have that feeling like, you know, I think I win and somebody beat me right on the wire because I stand up. And
that would be the worst.
No, I don't want to have that feeling, never.
No.
First time I rode at Laurel Park. Laurel is the same
two
way.
Two wires.
Yeah. And the first time I forgot to ask, I just rode at the second wire. I didn't want to stop riding. You never know. You want to double check.
You want to make sure that you win.
Exactly. Well, tell us about that day where you guys were on fire and together you won seven races at Aqueduct.
You win the first three and I win the other four.
Wow.
That was a very, very special day, you know.
He left me by the last two races. He can't ride no more, so. We was rooting for our ballet because he won the first seven with us and he used to have Kiva Core when he was a buck. He won the eighth race.
Ooh.
So my ballet, then we was out. So and now we're rooting for our ballet. And just me and Keith are going to the last IRA finishing the eighth.
And you can make it.
And we can make it.
It was a very special day for me, for him, and for us ballet. So.
Our ballet,
He almost win all the races of the car, so... That was nice. Very special. Very nice.
What's that? All right, when a jockey, and in this case two jockeys, two brothers, get into a zone like that and everything's going well, you're winning every race on the card that you're riding, is it when you go back to the jocks room, is it like a pitcher that's pitching a no-hitter where nobody goes and talks to him, you know, and everybody kind of leaves you guys alone because you're in the zone and they don't want to break that rhythm? What's it like when you go back to the jocks room?
No, you know,
normal.
Like regular, you know, everybody congrats and, you know.
Yeah, congrats. Nobody expects you to win all of them. It's not easy.
And it's different because he, you know, every race he rides his horse and, like, I don't want to win the first three. I want to win the first three to, you know, the other four. But
and then I will take the next four.
Yeah, it's what it is, you know. I'm trying to win all of them, you know, and try hard all the horses and try to be the best team for my horse.
Well, I can imagine, though, Irod, if you don't win and you guys are both in the same race, you want your brother to win, right? If you're not going to win, you want your brother to be the one to beat you, right?
If I rode the horse before and they take me off, I don't really care. You know, I don't really want to. Don't even finish in the war.
Who's more competitive?
Irod, for sure. He cries a lot.
I just want to win. I want to win. I love winning.
Me too.
Love winning and love pass the wire in front.
And we are in the same corner when we go back. Oh, my God.
Well, you guys have an apartment together at Belmont, right?
And no
you,
more.
You don't have it anymore. No
more. I don't bought his house. I bought mine, so we're good.
All right. But you used to go home. You play video games at the apartment and everything?
We still,
yeah.
Yeah? What do you like to play?
We play baseball a lot.
I still beat him.
Where?
Baseball and everything. Basketball.
Baseball, we got pretty tight. Good game.
Pretty tight. Game. NBA 2K15.
You can't beat your older brother? He said he beat you all the time.
NBA 2K15.
In baseball, we are pretty tight. In basketball, he beat me. And in the horses, we ride horses.
Both. We're pretty tight.
It depends on the horse.
Does he get mad if you beat him in a video game,
yeah,
too?
Yes.
Yeah, I am.
Who claimed foul against the other in a race?
All the time. If he found me, I'm going to call. Yeah. I don't care. If
we call. It's not about us, you know. It's about the owner, you know.
Well, that happened once before, right?
A lot of times before.
Yeah. Disqualified? Someone was disqualified?
I dropped him twice.
He dropped me three eyes all the time.
No.
No intentional, man, you know.
Right.
Things happen, man.
But we claiming foul against each other more than once. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Irod Ortiz Jr., Jose Ortiz, the Ortiz brothers here with us on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Don't forget that if you miss any portion of this show, you can go back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast. Will be available for you later on this evening here. Irod, you wrote a very special filly for Kieran McLaughlin when you first got rolling here in the States, maybe your first big break, by the name of Questing. Would you consider that your first really big break to get your career started?
You know, I told you positive, but, you know, he gave me a very good chance. And that was lucky. That was lucky because I don't supposed to ride the filly. They bring it from Dubai to the Breeders' Cup on dirt. She run okay, but it's a Breeders' Cup race. Then they going back to grass and Leparu been riding the filly, finish four all the time favorite and cheat on. So can I say let's give another shot this time on grass, on dirt. So Julian was riding in New York and he have to go in another town to ride somewhere else, ride a stake race, and for lucky I get on the filly and riding, and she went very impressive first time with me. She just tumbled out of there. She point fast in front. She still have the lead, and she have to. When I ask him, she take off. So we come to New York to the Grade One Coaching Club in here, and we have some Hall of Famers open. So I was a little weird if I lose the mount, but it's a very special person for me, Kieran McLaughlin. He told me, don't worry, you'll be on her. I say, okay, thanks. And then she come and she win for fun that day. And I don't have too much experience. And, you know, first grade one, I feel like I'm going to win. And she's getting out. She don't want me to. She was rolling. And I want to keep hitting, you know, like hitting and give me more, and she can give me more than that. She was flying and keep hitting left hander. She was on the middle of the track, keep hitting. I win like the 14th pad or something like that.
Yeah, and everybody, she was way out there.
You know, everybody talking the next day, like, you know, a little, I don't have that experience for rode the horses, but he don't think like that. He think, you know, talk to him and told me, listen, I don't think she liked too much the whistle. Try to fix that, say I will. And we have, you know, like all the riders open for the Alabama, and say he gonna ride him. Yeah. He's going to ride him.
Kieran was at the PDJF karaoke last night, and I had a little time to talk with him, and I told him that you guys were going to join us on the program here today, and he spoke very highly of both of you. So I think Kieran's in your corner.
Yeah, you know, he's a great person.
Got a lot of respect for him.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah, absolutely. That was also, Jose, the same year, I guess, that you were injured, right? Because you had gone down in a spill. You got hurt. You weren't able to come back for a little while there. Got to be tough when you see one of you go down and get hurt. I mean, as close as you guys are, is that difficult to watch? Has to be.
It's going to happen. Just part of the job, but
you don't want to see nobody
go down and get hurt.
Well, especially your brother. Especially. I mean,
it's different,
yeah,
you know,
it's different.
Your brother, you feel more.
But we spend a lot of time together in the jokes room, maybe more time than we spend at home, so we are very close. We like each other, and if somebody goes down, everybody feels it.
You came back, you went through a stretch where you were struggling a little bit to get victories, right? I think you came back, you're like 0 for 17 when you first came back from the injury, but then you started to kind of pick things up again. And a lot of jockeys have told me that when you do get hurt, the biggest thing that's most difficult, and Christina, you can agree, is coming back, trying to get your business back, right? People kind of forget about you, don't they?
At least when I went down, I got my buck. I was doing really well at Belmont. Then last day in Belmont, last ride I rode, I went down, unfortunately. I ride the last weekend here because I just want to ride. And, you know, when we go back to Belmont, I was riding every day, and I picked up my business, and finally when we get to Aqueduct, I did really, really well.
It's always it's so frustrating whenever you're not only hurting on the sidelines and watching everything going on in front of you and you can't ride, but then when you can, people won't give you a shot until they see that you are 100%.
100%
right. That's right.
That's right.
And it is frustrating. It's very frustrating. But
I don't blame them, because if I have my horse and they are very expensive, you have to. These horses. You know,
makes sense.
Makes sense.
Makes
if
sense.
You want the horse to do good, you want to make sure somebody, whoever you put on it, is 100%. So.
Yeah.
It makes you want to work that much harder to show them, right?
Yeah.
You guys made some history last year in the Kentucky Derby, becoming just the third set of brothers ever to ride together in the Derby. That had to be pretty amazing, too. Eddie and Sam Maple, and then Chris and his brother Greg McCarron, the only other brothers to do that. And I know that was kind of a dream come true for both of you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a dream come true. It was an awesome moment. My dad and my mom was there, so I think they are very proud of us. So
our first derby, too.
First derby for both of us, so we are very happy to be there. And fortunately, Ira don't make it last year, but he will. He got a lot of years.
He's got a few more derbies ahead of him. What was that like going into that derby starting gate?
It's an amazing feeling.
Oof. I get goosebumps when I came out of the tunnel. So many people singing one song. And, you know, a lot of cameras. Just dream come true.
No comments, you know.
Yeah. No comments about it. You got to be there to feel how it feels like.
That's true, though, right? Jockeys have told me that the first time you experienced that coming out of the tunnel and you got 150,000 people singing My Old Kentucky Home, that it gets you, right? You can't help but get emotional at that moment.
Yeah.
No, you can. Then when you go to the gate, just break.
Were you nervous going into the gate?
There'll be a lot of horses in the race. You got to break good and have at least good quarter of a mile to get a right position. And
yeah.
I was in front.
It's pretty tough. Ira was in front that year.
He had good position.
We've been...
Make sure I got a good position.
I get a very
Uncle
nice...
Si.
Very nice trip. And we did with New York bred both. You go with a New York bred, well, with a New York bred, so that's good too. But I got a really good trip beside California Chrome all the way, but when Espinosa asked him to go by the quarter pole, he left me.
All right, what's that like having the lead in the Kentucky Derby for a while? Because I think you had the lead even going into the far turn with Uncle Si.
Yeah,
Friday,
you know,
you?
It's when the doors open, I tell you the truth, it's exciting riding the Derby, and you know, when you get there, but the soon you go into the gate, you know, I'm on my game, you know, I'm ready to. I'm forget about everything, you know. I just concentrate on the race and the doors open, you just ride like another race. It's like another race, you know.
You gotta get your position and ride a mark race. That's it.
Harder to get position with 20 horses, though,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's hard.
It's hard. It's not easy.
First year, I broke from the 5 or 6 posts. Last year, I have to break from the 19, I think.
Yeah.
And I learned it's way better to be in the inside.
Really? Really?
You gotta run just straight to the
top.
In the 19, you gotta, or either break running, break running, clear too many horses, or take back and go inside.
Right.
You can be in the 19, in the 19 pad in the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be out on that side rail.
how do you save ground with 20 horses?
I mean,
or do you want
to be on the rail? But
I think in the 20 horse race, you save ground. You are in the 4 pad, you saving a lot of ground.
Yeah.
So. It's hard. Kentucky Derby, the hardest race to win.
We don't ride too many of that, so, you know.
Yeah, we don't ride too many of that. We can tell you just a little bit.
Irad Ortiz Jr., Jose Ortiz, joining us here on Jack Talk, presented by Tito's.
Irad, how about the Breeders' Cup?
Man, that's... forget about it. That's... that didn't really come true.
Yeah.
We just need now the Derby, but special feeling. That was very special. I always think about winning a Breeders' Cup because I watching when I used to be like a little more younger. I watched NBC the biggest races, so they put in NBC Breeders' Cup, and I really
we like the camera shots.
The different camera shots, and I see the when they throw the. Like the flower, the yellow and purple flowers.
Yeah.
I love those colors, and I love it when they throw and they put in slow motion. So I really want to do that. And the dream come true, and with a very special feeling, the lady, like I know she's hurt, unfortunately, but, you know, hopefully she get better. And that's the best horse I've ever ridden so far. So.
Yeah, she's special.
She's very special.
She's on the turf. You're special.
I have two special fillies, Questing and Lady Elia.
Yeah.
Best ever.
How about for you, Jose? Who are some of the horses that you think back on that you're never going to forget?
La Verdad.
Yeah, La Verdad.
Mm.
Yeah. What makes her so special?
I've been riding her since day one, and I've watched her, all her success, and... been a lot of good moments with her, a lot of great memories, and she's just special.
Very special.
How about you guys? Do you have to watch your weight? Do you have to? How do you prepare for a race, first of all, and how do you prepare your bodies for the rigors of riding?
Mm.
Thanks God, we don't have to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
So we are good in that aspect.
I wish I could say that.
We are good in that part, and you know, you have to prepare yourself. You have to, in the beginning when we started, we had to run because you had to get in shape, but as soon you are in your shape, you at least just working horses, you want to keep it going, you know, and riding 7-8 horses every day, that's a lot of work, so you don't need to run anymore. So we just came out. We prepare ourselves in the morning. We breed some horses. You know the horse. And then you ride 7 in the afternoon. I think you got to be pretty fit to do
you're fit.
And, you know, you just handicap the race and you prepare yourself. At least I do in the night. I get my iPad, go to a racing form, study the race. Then when I go back the next day to the jockey room, I got on my mind already what I want to do.
All right, how about you? Is it just what? As he's pulling his vest over his head here, I asked him a question. It was like when the waitress comes over when you're putting the food in your mouth, right? And they always say, can I get you anything? I was doing that to poor Irad over here.
Mm.
When you get ready for a race, are you reading the racing form? Are you watching replays? What's the key?
I love that. The most of the night, sometimes I'm really tired and going to sleep, but all night before I go to bed, I watch the program from the next day, you know. I handicap in the races, I, you know, look the horses they rode in. Ooh, the last time he win, what the jockey the rode in did that he like maybe. What happened if he had trouble the last time? what hard I have to beat. I love that. I love to, even if I not rode the race, I look at the race and, you know, try to pick the winner.
I like to pick the winner.
I like to pick the winner and say, man, that horse can lose.
I like the race I don't ride. I just make a challenge, like, who gonna be first in early speed and who gonna be second, who gonna be third. And then if you go like that, you know, I feel happy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You get that part right.
Yeah.
That's like anything. The more you prepare, the better you have a chance of winning. Whenever you know, if you have in your mind how the race is going to set up, you know where to put your horse.
Yeah.
That for sure.
You know, when you have to move to, because if you know the two horses in front of you, it's going to stop.
And really important thing
is, for the one coming behind.
Really important thing is that you have to know the jockeys. It's very important.
Yeah.
You know the jockeys, is you riding 10 times a day, every day. You create something. If one jockey always going out, he's gonna do it most of the time. So you know he's gonna go in out. So if you're in outside, you wait till he's going out, you don't wanna go in behind him and going too wide. If he, the most of the time, stay on the rail, you know he's going to stay there so you can make your move.
Yeah.
I think that's a very important point to a jockey, to know what everybody do on the track.
The jockey's going to do.
Yeah, you mentioned in the first half of the program getting advice from guys like Angel Cordero and even Johnny, who has kind of helped you guys and helped you along the way since you've been here. How about for you? Do you feel like now that you're kind of getting more established that it's your responsibility to help out the younger guys that are just getting involved?
I don't have that much experience.
Yeah.
And I.
Oh, come on. You're closing in on 1,000 wins. You won the Breeders' Cup race. You've been in the Kentucky Derby.
But we're still having John in the room, so he can.
And I have I have a Cornelio, too. He's always there for me. Cornelio Velasquez.
Really?
And I got a lot of respect for him.
Very nice.
Amazing person and
great
amazing
writer.
Jockey.
Great writer.
We have to show some respect to him, what he did for being a jockey and everything have to do for being a jockey, and he's a hard worker, and for me he's a Hall of Famer jockey.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of respect for him, and he helped me a lot from the first day that I got here, and I respect him for that.
Only a couple of minutes left here, guys, before we have to wrap up. Hard to believe we've been visiting here for an hour. We could go for another hour and hear these stories. I feel like we're just scratching the surface. But what else do you guys enjoy doing outside of horse racing when you do get some time away? What other hobbies, what other interests do you have, Jose?
We don't do much. We really don't do much. We play PlayStation. If it's a sunny day, we go to the lake. We run the jet skis. Or play domino. We play a lot of domino.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of domino. And, you know, we get like a barbecue. Everybody come. Franco, his dad, played domino with us. And after we got 4 person, we good. We can do anything. We can play PlayStation. We can play dominoes. And then we eat something. And we stay until late playing dominoes. It's very fun.
I'm riding. I love ride. I just want to ride.
I know, but we're talking about the off days. Why are you going to ride? The bike?
Sometimes you don't want to get the day off.
No.
If they run on Tuesday, you want to get the day off?
No.
If they run on Tuesday, you want to ride.
Yeah, but we got the day off, unfortunately.
That's okay.
You could have flown somewhere. There's a track running today somewhere, right? You could have gone.
Well, you don't go to parks.
Yeah, I wish going to parks. If I can do that, like I run for good trainers over there, and you know, but they have jockeys working over there every day. They not going to name somebody out that never work in the morning over there. Maybe you have to gallop the horse and jogging, and you don't do it. They don't want to take those guys off to put you on the good horses.
Gentlemen, it has been an absolute delight to visit with you guys here today and to hear your story. And you're on a roll, so keep it going. Jose, thank you so much, my friend.
You.
Irod, you're the best. Thank you so much. You guys are great. And by the way, what are those orange sunglasses you just put on?
I just steal it from Jose.
I can't see your eyes either.
He paid $8 for that.
$8.
I like them.
He think he have like a Michael Kors or Gucci.
Guys, thanks so much. Christina, been a lot of fun as always.
This has
been
awesome.
All right, if you did miss any portion of the show, go to our website, horseracingradio.net. Podcast will be available, but boy, so much fun. Our thanks to the Ortiz brothers for being with us here on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's. For Christina McManigal, our producer, Lee Delapina, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for listening.